band is back together. Everybody's here. Everybody's rested. Just for Bob to go out of town in like a week.
What'd you say? Just for me to go out of town in a week? Yeah, next Thursday.
Yeah, next Thursday.
Taking a day off. Woohoo!
Man. And that got more days than that. I mean, Cody's got 12 in the month of May.
Yeah, just in the month of May alone. Yeah.
Yeah, he's got more days off in the month of May than Bobby Witt Jr. has RBI.
Yeah. Well, how many does Robert have? I have not looked at that number this morning because I was so caught up in the text line freaking out over Salvador Perez. Robert does have 28 RBIs on the season. That's not bad. Mm-hmm. Here we are a third of the way through the season, so he's kind of on pace for about 90 RBIs on that, you know, number two hole on this team with a lot of guys getting on base. So that's not really that bad at all, but it is vacation season. I mean, that's kind of where we're headed right now, right? Like, yesterday was a weird day around town. Did you, like, very calm, not a lot of people out doing things. The weather obviously kind of dampened that a little bit, I think, but we're into that, you know, that time of year now where everybody's going on vacation, nobody's around, nobody's doing their thing, and it's officially summertime, my man. It is officially summertime now.
It's funny how, like, you do this profession, and as a kid, this was the best time of the year.
Yeah, right.
School's out.
Yep.
You got nothing planned except waking up at noon, firing about 20 pizza rolls in the oven or the microwave. Then you're going to hang out with, you know, Brett and Josh and Chuck in the neighborhood and throw the football around or play wiffle ball for 2.5 hours and go play video games and then beg your parents what's for dinner when they walk in the door wishing they had given you up for adoption at that moment
because
they're still 9 to 5 in it and you're just here like, what are we going to do tonight? And it's Tuesday, okay?
That's right.
And that's what I feel like as I got older, that's what this profession is. Now at this time of the year, it's Wednesday. The Royals play again. They're struggling right now. They'll be this way throughout the season. They'll be up. They'll be down. They'll be up. They'll be down. And watch. Watch this happen. The month of June, Bobby Witt Jr. will go absolute magma hot.
Yeah, he will. And that's kind of the way it goes. It was last year, right at the end of June, early July, when he really started and had that month of July that was astronomically insane, right?
The way he goes.
Yeah, they really do, because Bobby's not playing well right now. It's easy to sit here and rip on Salvador Perez and rip on Hunter Renfroe, who's no longer with the team, or Rave, or whoever you want to take a shot at. But you and I were going through Bobby Witt's numbers to start the morning off. And in the month of May alone, he struck out 24 times in 100 at bats. That's almost 25% of the time that the MVP candidate's going up to the plate and striking out, and yet everybody wants to blame 35-year-old Salvador Perez or whatever it is for the woes of this Royals team. I hate to say it, and Bobby would probably echo this as well, he's got to play better. A 289 hitter for a guy who's considered an MVP type of candidate and the catalyst for the lineup is not enough right now, especially in a lineup that's struggling. And now the flip side is he's probably pressing because nobody, you know, around him is getting the job done. But that doesn't mean you swing at bad pitches. It doesn't mean you try to do too much. It means you go out there and you see everybody else is struggling. You try to pick them up, but sometimes you just try to do too much and you're not capable of doing it. And then you struggle yourself. And so striking out roughly 25% of the time in the month of May, that number's got to be changed a lot, you know, for Bobby Witt Jr. But, you know, you're right. It is the best time of the year for a kid because I'm looking around at my kids now and they're off. Like, can you pick us up at 11:30 tonight? What do you mean 11:30 tonight? I got to go to work tomorrow, right? Like, it's one of those type of deals that we're living in right now. But it's also that time of year where if the Royals aren't giving it to you, it's okay to close the blinds, because if you're getting yourself worked up like some people are on the text line about this, I can't put myself in those shoes. It's May. You know, getting yourself worked up over a baseball team on a Tuesday in May just doesn't seem like the smart thing to do. So it's okay to close the blinds if they're not giving you what they want. I shut the blinds last night after whatever that bunt thing was in the field last night. I mean, that was it for me. I was done. I was off to something else watching the end of the basketball game last night, but I didn't, you know. It's okay to do that. You're not, you know, required to watch every pitch of every game of every season. If it's not going the way you want it, feel free to step aside and watch something on Netflix or watch the basketball game or the hockey game or whatever else is going on. You know, I mean, don't let them get to you and you lose your mind and call Vern a jerk on the text line. Like,
well,
we saw.
They said J-E-R.
Oh, I'm sorry. J-E-R dot, dot, dot. Right.
They called him a jur.
Yeah.
Okay. So I don't know if they knew that we were going to have Jur Schley on the show.
Maybe.
Yeah, loaded show today. Got to have Binkley on at 6:45. He'll kick your ass. You call him a jerk.
Yeah.
We'll have Tammy Holtis on talking about her her event that she's helping put on as well. We'll have Matt Cotrero on as well. Yes, we'll ask him anything you want. Text line, that's a joke. We won't, because you'll ask him if he's going to get rid of Salvador Perez.
Right.
I find it funny, man. I find it funny. And I'm not upset and I'm not angry, but I find it funny that people want to give us a bunch of you-know-what, and then the minute that we look at them and ask them why they act this way, they think it's like it's not right. And so I want to bring these two texts up, because somebody tweeted at me last night, because obviously I put my heart and soul and my affection and love out there for Jack Caglione. It's no secret, right? Oh, we get it. Dusty, you like him. Cool. I don't need to be told that he went 0 for 5 last night with 3 strikeouts. Didn't look good. We're going to take one effing game after hitting 5 home runs and one weekend, and we're going to not only do that on Twitter, Jack from the text line, 0 for 5, 3 Ks, didn't look good last night.
Everybody has a bad night. It's baseball.
And we do this with baseball, and I don't know why we do this when we overanalyze and are overly critical over such a small sample size in a sport that gives you large sample size. Another text. We going to sit here and blank on Singer today again? Doubt it. 7 innings, 7 hits. India was 2 for 4.
What do you want?
What is there to talk about?
Yeah. And Singer needed to be traded. It was time. It's not a big deal. Salvi should have been traded 3 years ago, and everybody wanted to rip me for it.
And I think the thing that's crazy is that, like, the minute you bring up that Bobby Witt Jr. has 24 strikeouts and 100 at-bats in the month of May, which means once every 5 times he's striking out.
Right.
Which is...
No, once every 4 times.
4 times, which is not normally his faux pas. And he hasn't been hitting in May. Nobody's hitting in this lineup. Something must change. Something's got to go from what it is to what it's going to be. That's not firing your hitting coach. That's these grown-ass men that are professional athletes that are going to have to hit. And oh, by the way, this Royals team is hot and cold. They're up and down. They're roller coaster. They're going to win 10 out of 12. They're going to lose 8 out of 11. They're going to be 500. They're going to contend all year. And they're probably going to be a wild card team because they have the pitching staff to do it. So, yes, Singer didn't blow me away last night. He pitched to a Royals offense that cannot hit. The Royals still had 7 hits and 7 innings against him. Jonathan India went 2 for 4 last night against him. I don't know what you're expecting. I don't know if you want them to be, you know, world beaters and be the Yankees and the Dodgers. That ain't them. They're a slightly above 500 team that is a wild card team. And yes, Detroit's the best team in baseball and they play in their division.
And there's nothing we can do about that.
Understand baseball or stop bitching.
But that like, therein lies it. The problem, though, is because we become such a football society and everything is looked at through the lens of an NFL game and an NFL season, and that's just not the case. Like, the fact that people call in after a Tuesday night baseball game and get themselves worked up is something I will never comprehend. I mean, it really, like, it has no meaning in the grand scheme of life. And to get so worked up over a baseball game, that's the great thing about baseball. You had a stinker last night. You get him again tomorrow. It's no big deal. You're back at it the next day. You don't have an entire week to sit here and talk about it and relive it and wonder what's going to happen over the next week. You're literally out there, you know, 20 hours later after you lose a game, and you're playing again, and you get another opportunity to go out there and do it. And that is the beauty of baseball. But again, the beauty of baseball is that it is a long sport. People used to talk about it all the time. You sit back, you smoke a cigarette, you drink a beer, you watch the game, you enjoy yourself, you take time. It's a time-consuming sport, yada, yada, yada. That's how you have to view the lens of a baseball game. You can't view every game as it is an NFL game, or that every game matters like an NFL game, or every game matters, period, because at the end of the day, they don't. You're going to win 50. You're going to lose 50. What are you going to do with the other 62 that really ultimately end up mattering? And we're not in competition. I hate to say this, and I'll be that guy. we're not in competition with the Detroit Tigers. They are far better than the Kansas City Royals right now.
One team in baseball's competition with the Tigers is the Dodgers.
The Dodgers. And you can throw the Yankees into that competition as well. So you got three teams that are up there. The Royals are in competition with the Houston Astros and the Minnesota Twins, because those are the teams you're battling for those final playoff spots right now. Cleveland as well into that mix. But there's not many other teams. You start to look at the standings right now, and you start to see where teams are starting to fall. The Royals are still one of the better teams in the American League at this point in time, and I expect them to stay that way. I expect them to stay one of the better teams in the American League, because as you mentioned, they've got the pitching staff to do it. And as long as you have pitching in this game, chances are you're going to win that game. You're going to win that day. And if you have the best pitcher in the postseason, you're going to win in the playoffs as well. Hitting is a premium in the playoffs, just like it's been in the regular season for the Royals. That's why you have to take advantage of opportunities. You also can't make mistakes. They made a mistake last night. That whatever that bunt thing was, that was the game. That's, it's not Salvi. It's not Bobby. Whatever that bunt thing was where Shriver was lying.
Flying,
whatever that was the game. That's how you lost the game.
It's also a bullpen game. The guy that's supposed to start the game
exactly.
is injured.
Right.
Your two best pitchers are injured. You're going to be down. Your ace of your staff is out. Your third ace of your staff is out. Like, this is going to happen.
Right.
You get 50 free ones in baseball. You get 50 free efforts.
Yep.
It just so happens you've had about four in the last six games.
Yeah, it happens. And
you're burning a lot of your free tokens.
Right, you are, and we need the White Sox to get to town sooner rather than later. What is Detroit coming in this weekend now after
it's
this?
People to hit,
you know,
man.
Just this one, right? It'll be rough with the Tigers coming in. But again, this team is not in contention with the Detroit Tigers. We have to start thinking about just getting into the postseason, and is this a playoff team? And the answer to that question is yes. So be nicer to Vern on the damn text line, and don't call him a jerk. The hell did he do?
Yeah, and text line. Dusty, people wouldn't be bitching if the Royals didn't come out and begin the year saying that they were a playoff baseball team. We're going to be a playoff team this year, and they're not at this moment. If people are getting frustrated with that, I understand what that is. I get that. This team hasn't hit for a month and a half. But damn it, there's 3.5 months of baseball left to go, and you're a
long time.
You got plenty of time.
Where was Detroit at this time last year? Look at Detroit's record at this time last year. And tell me where they were. And what were people in Detroit saying? Because that team turned it on, made it into the postseason, and has become the best team in Major League Baseball in less than a year. And so at this time last year, Detroit wasn't playing good baseball. Go back to 2019. The Nationals won the World Series that year. They were like 8 games under .500 at this time during that season. It was in May. They were well under .500. They turned it around. And they won the World Series that year. Anything can happen. To react in May, to freak out and lose your mind on a Tuesday night because Salvador Perez didn't have a hit or whatever the case may be, I think it's misguided anger right now. I do. And I really think it shows a lack of understanding at how a baseball season truly works.
I have a feeling I'm going to get cooked on the text line on either side because I think I know who's at fault for this royal sort of frustration. I'll explain what that means. Plus, we'll dive into playoff expectations and record towards the end of the year for these Kansas City Royals. You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty.
Whoever that bozo was doing the armpit fart thing, come on, man.
Catch Royals insider Josh Fournier every Monday at 8:20 right here on your home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan.
What we teased, we were talking about Bobby Witt Jr. in the month of May, right? Earlier. And saying how this team goes the way he goes. When the team wins, Bobby Witt Jr. hits .333, has 10 strikeouts and 22 RBI. When the team loses, Bobby Witt Jr. hits .248 with 32 strikeouts and 6 RBIs. Team goes as Junior goes.
Yes, it does. And you know what? That's kind of the badge that you wear, you know, in that type of situation. You've signed the big contract. You're the perennial MVP type of candidate. The pressure is just higher for him. Like, you know, the Chiefs go as Patrick Mahomes goes, right? Bills go as Josh Allen goes. I think you usually go as your star player goes. And if your star player isn't getting the job done, you're going to have a tough time winning baseball games or football games or whatever sport it is, right? You know, you get a cold shooter on a Tuesday night, you're going to lose a basketball game most likely, right? If Bobby Witt Jr. isn't producing, well, that's a big problem because nobody else in the lineup is producing at this point in time. Bobby has to be that catalyst in that lineup. If he's going to wear the cape and be the Superman and be the MVP candidate, he's got to get the job done regardless of what others in that lineup are doing right now.
I don't know if I would be this harsh, but what I want to talk about before we get more into what the record is and to where we can look ahead as we approach June, as the 1st of June is Sunday, somebody says, agree with what you guys were saying. Football fandom has tarnished sports fans using logic.
Mm-hmm.
I do think that the Chiefs are a blessing and a curse for fandom in Kansas City. And where I think that they are a blessing is, boy, have they given you a decade of fun.
No doubt.
And multiple championships in the most popular sport with two of the most popular athletes, one of them being the face of the league, the other one maybe being the face of athletes in the public eye, and Mahomes and Kelsey, and Andy Reid and Brett Veach, how they've done it year after year after year after year. I mean, you think about teams that have tried, the Rams, up, then fall. You look at Cincinnati, up, then fall. Mm-hmm. Baltimore, always getting close, but never actually finishing the job. Buffalo, the same thing, right? But no winning. The Chiefs have won and won a lot and won the most important thing you possibly could do, and that's the Super Bowl. And I think, and I'm not speaking for all of the fans out there because we've had a lot of people chime in and say, hey, I think this is dumb. It's a long season. Just enjoy the ride. We could be the White Sox like
right,
they had
exactly.
been before.
Or you Colorado,
be,
you know?
Yeah, who this is historically bad.
Yeah.
Or you could be, you know, Oakland and be playing in a minor league ballpark. You'd be Tampa Bay where you, you know, and right. I understand those are excuses.
Right.
But look, you're two games above 500. You got to stay above 500. I will tell you that. You got to stay above 500. But to go in every single game and every single loss like it's week four and you lose to Buffalo and you immediately react and say, well, I don't know, man. You know, they can't catch. They can't play defense. Spags has lost his touch. Even that's overreaction. Now, I would understand if the Royals had, you know, if they dip below 500 and let's say they go two games below 500 and go on like a six-game losing streak, then yeah, like we can have a serious talk about what panic feels like. But they have not done that since they did it way back in the day in the season. But then they went and won, what, 17 to 19, 17 to 20?
They won 16 of 18, and they've recently now just lost, what, 11 of 16, I think is the number
500
that we're looking at. Right. It's a 500 baseball team. And look, that's okay to have a 500 baseball team. You're not going to be a world champion every year. And I think it goes back to, you know, one of the most important things that John Sherman said when he fired Dayton Moore was that, look, he goes, like, I just want to see what a wild card team is like. You get in and anything can happen. And that's ultimately what it is. Just get into the playoffs and anything can happen. And this team, barring something unforeseen like a catastrophic collapse, I believe still is a playoff team. There aren't enough good teams out there right now that are battling for the postseason. As much as we love playoff expansion, and it has been great for the NFL, I think it's been great for Major League Baseball because it does keep a lot of teams and a lot of fan bases interested. At the end of the day, there may be too many baseball teams that make it into the postseason, because after the Royals, everybody's at like 77 wins or 76 wins or whatever the case may be. And so all the Royals have to do basically is go about 500, play one or two games better than 500, and you'll have an opportunity to get in the playoffs, and then anything can happen. And you're throwing Lugo, you're throwing Reagans, you're throwing maybe Noah Cameron at this point in time, you're throwing Chris Bubich in the playoffs right now. Like, that's a hell of a rotation that nobody wants to see. Because if you look at that rotation in the postseason, you're saying to yourself, all right, we're going to have to play for one run early. We're going to have to change our strategy. Maybe we're going to have to play small ball, get an early run against the Kansas City Royals and try to make that stand up. And so if this team gets into the playoffs, which I believe they will, they're going to be a very big force in the postseason. That's when you can live and die on every pitch, when the games matter, when it gets to the postseason, when those big games and things are truly on the line. That's when you get worked up about it. That's when you invoke that football mentality of every play, every pitch, every game matters, because in October it does. At this point of the season, where there is a huge separation between the teams that will go to the playoffs and the teams that won't, the Royals are in that category of teams that will go to the postseason right now. And the others, they're left for dead at this point in time. And so we've got a team that's going to go to the playoffs. We got a team that's going to keep it interesting all year long. And a lot of cities are already writing off their Major League Baseball season.
The thing about what you just mentioned in the playoffs, because people say, oh, you don't know what you're talking about. They're not a playoff team. Well, according to FanDuel and the pace of record, from what they have, the Detroit Tigers and the New York Yankees would get your first byes in the playoffs. They'd be your 1 and 2 seed. The next four teams in the playoffs are Seattle, Cleveland, Minnesota, Kansas City.
Right.
Right. They have the Royals projected to win 85 games at the end of the season. Was their win total at the beginning of the year like 83.5?
83.5, 84, I think, something like that. Yeah, so right on par to where they are.
Again, this is why, and again, I'm not angry. I'm very happy today. I got a lot of sleep last night. Felt good. Because like Bob said, after that bunt thing happened, I went, all right, time to put put the AirPods in, listen to music, and just drift away into sleep.
Well, there's no reason to watch
and
after that.
It's 7-2.
Yeah.
And so, yes, I will be side A and side B of this record. Side A, the positive side. You got Bobby Witt Jr. You have a top three pitching staff that can definitely get you, a staff that can definitely get you to a World Series. You have a bullpen that's fantastic. And you have a promising prospect that, yes, had a very bad night last night at the plate, 0-5, 3 strikeouts. I could tell you everything he did last night because I watched it on my phone. He flew out to right field at 110 miles an hour, grounded shortstop at 101 miles per hour, got called looking on a questionable strike. I can keep going. Anyways, you have a promising prospect up in the system. You have a team that went to the playoffs last year that knows exactly what they've got to do again this year. Okay? That's side A. Side B, we'll go to the fan side. Like the fans, not 96.5. Offense is terrible. Base running is god-awful. Salvador Perez, your captain, your superhero for years, is looking a little bit more mortal than immortal. That's what 35 will do. We ready to have the conversation about Travis Kelce yet? We can. Because you're about to have this in about 4.5 months. And that's where
we're not.
At.
Travis was OTAs. He's ready to go.
Come on.
He's ready to roll.
25 pounds lighter.
Yeah.
Yeah. And a year older. So I think that when you look at this, like this is what the Royals will be all year. They can be, and they probably will be, an 85-win team. There's probably a big chance that Bobby Witt Jr. will have one of those months where that's just who he is, where he just goes absolutely scorched earth, hits like, what, 389 for the month of June, has 10 home runs, is the player of the month in MLB baseball. All of a sudden, you look at his slash line, it's like, oh, it's 318, it's, you know, 329, whatever it may be. But again, I think that's where you look at baseball. Like you look at the longevity of what your season is. You are still a playoff team. You are still the same core. You still have that pitching staff. Lugo should be back in his next start. Reagan's maybe misses one more, maybe. But again, both of your pitchers are out. Your offense can't hit. And by God, be happy that it's May that this is happening and not end of July, mid-August.
Yeah, because then that would be real panic. If it was end of July and mid-August and all of a sudden, you know, you're talking about a team that can't hit that was hitting all season long, that's a problem to be had. There's still plenty of time, you know, to work this thing out. The problem with Bobby Witt Jr. is right now, if I'm the opposing team, I'm not throwing him a hittable pitch. I'm just not. Not until anybody else in this lineup starts to be productive. And as you pointed out earlier, eventually it is on the player. You know, eventually you're a Major League Baseball player. You're the adult. You're going to work every day. You have got to be, you know, functional at your job. And right now, nobody in that lineup is. And so I know the pressure on Bobby Witt has got to be astronomical. And he's probably wearing that more than we even know at this point in time, because he feels like he has to be the catalyst for this team. That's what leaders do. That's how leadership works in these situations. Those leaders are aware of that, man. And when things aren't going right, it's on them. And you can tell Bobby's struggling right now. He's trying to do something up there at the plate. But the problem is he's trying too hard to do something at the plate, and it's not working, and it's hurting the team in the big picture. I think if you're Bobby Witt Jr., you're just going to stand up there and throw me a strike. Just throw me a strike, and I'll wait till you do, and stop chasing pitches out of the zone. Because if you're the opposition against Bobby Witt Jr. and the Royals right now, he's the only guy in the lineup that can truly beat you, and you're not going to throw a strike to him. And teams are smart to do so, but he also feels that, so now he's chasing pitches, and here we sit at a guy that's hitting 289 and well below where we expect Bobby Witt Jr. to be. But this is the thing in baseball. You'd mentioned three things: the salvage thing, the base running, and the lack of hitting. all of baseball is struggling. We have to keep talking about that because people want to act like it's just the Royals that are struggling from an offensive standpoint, and that is not the case at all. It's one of the worst years in the history of baseball. From an offensive standpoint, it goes back, in my opinion, to too many analytics, too many numbers, too much bull crap that these coaches are giving the players and filling their heads with numbers. It's ridiculous. You've got to kiss it. Keep it simple, stupid, and make this thing very easy. See ball, hit ball, and go attack it. I think these players today, the reason their numbers are so down and it's an offensively challenged league now is because we're looking at players that are so concerned with launch angle and mile per hour off the bat and all kinds of stuff that these hitting coaches and agents are telling them to do to go out there and increase their numbers, and it's not working right now, and it's decreasing everything. So that's a baseball problem. The base running thing is the one that needs to be solved, though, Dusty, and I think you're onto something there. That can be fixed. You got to be smarter on the base pass. You got to be better on the base pass. And when you're not hitting, you can't give away outs on the base paths.
I think also to your theory on hitters and exit velo and launch angle, I think it's 50-50. I do think that players are, I think some players are obsessed with it. I really do.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's a number that is, it's very telling. Right, it's telling you how effing hard you hit the baseball and how effing far you hit the baseball. I think it's also a media thing. I think it's a lot of these guys
yeah,
that
sure.
are announcers and are statisticians and are the guys that some of which we work with mm-hmm. that want to be the first one to be like, holy cow, that was 190 feet, whatever it may have been. And they want to have that shock factor tweet. They want to have that shock factor comment. I mean, hell, guys, I don't know if you've noticed, but it's on the lower right third of Crown Vision.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
every
I know.
Every single play.
It's stupid.
Even if they foul tip it, it's like launch angle, 71.
Have you tried to decipher
speed.
That Crown Vision ever before? Like, go into a game sober one time, and then you can try to decipher Crown Vision.
Yeah.
Because there's too much nonsense up there. It's,
yeah.
it's and that's what the players are getting. It's too much nonsense.
It's the next gen stat. Of baseball,
right?
Because in football, we see it all the time. Like we in my life, except for the last 5 years, I have never once seen how many times a quarterback has actually thrown it in front of the line of scrimmage. Now every single Monday or Tuesday, when I get up, next gen, incomplete passes are red, line of scrimmage is green, completions are green, and I know every single area where that quarterback threw the next morning. And you know who else sees that? Some athletes. And they love to see that long stretch of green
right.
going down the field.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to be able to sit here and say that I can't help it, that I enjoy it, and I'm not an athlete, but I also can say that I understand how they can't help it when they're like, damn, I hit that ball how far? I hit it how hard? Okay.
And that, and then you've got guys like Scott Boras telling these guys, the more home runs you hit, the more
and
money you're going to make. And so guys are swinging out of their shoes, and
yeah.
it's not a good game.
And we could talk for a week straight in July if you want about how much Scott Boras has ruined baseball.
Oh, he's terrible.
So, I mean,
he's the worst thing to happen
yeah,
to that. I've said
sure.
it for years. He's worse than steroids for baseball.
For sure.
And I mean, he has destroyed this game single-handedly. But also, too, I think what has destroyed this game is taking away the fun and implementing the nerd into the game of baseball. And I'm not trying to be, flippant when I say that, but you were talking about the announcers, right? And using
yeah.
all these analytic things. Baseball was a better sport when Harry Carey was drunk. Baseball was a better sport when Phil Rizzuto was talking about leaving the game in the eighth inning because he didn't want to sit in traffic crossing the George Washington Bridge to get back to New Jersey. Baseball was better when you had characters in the booth as opposed to dorks in the booth. And that's just the way it is. Baseball has shifted and has become this sport where we have let the statisticians, the nerds, the Harvard grads take over the sport. And quite frankly, it's not as good as it used to be. Like, the characters are what made baseball. The Hawk Harrelsons back in the day, the Harry Careys back in the day, the Mel Allens, the Phil Rizzuto, all those old guys who sit up there and crack a Budweiser, smoke a cigarette, maybe have sex with the owner's wife, and everybody had themselves a time. I mean, and that's what baseball was back in the day. And now we've matriculated, yes, I'm using a new word, to where everything is broken down by a stat and we've lost the fun. And I was talking to somebody in the game of baseball yesterday. I said, baseball will be better when you guys realize You're entertainers. You're no different than the Savannah Bananas. You're no different than Tom Hanks. You're no different than what we do for a living. You're no different than a Broadway show. You're a form of entertainment. The problem is baseball takes themselves way too seriously. And not just baseball, all sports take themselves way too seriously. And they forgot at the end of the day, you're a form of entertainment. You've got to be entertaining if you want people to like what's going on. And talking to them about numbers that have no relevant impact on the game, in my opinion, chases people away. Give me Harry Carey back. Give me a Budweiser. Give me a cigarette. Give me all that kind of fun stuff that used to take place during baseball games. That's missing now. It has become way too super serving of the stat nerd.
Kegs and eggs and football. Let's go.
Let's go.
Hey. Yeah. Last time I heard about Launch Angle, they were putting Neil Armstrong on the moon.
Right. I mean, did you ever hear Vin Scully talk about anything like that? The greatest announcer of all time? No. Talking about that kind of stuff. Just give me the game. Give me the entertainment. Give me the fun. Why do we like John Madden? Entertaining, right? Why do we like Charles Barkley? When has he ever given you a stat about anything?
Rebounds.
But Barkley, a stat that people can talk about. No, everybody knows what a rebound is, right? Barkley, entertaining. The best announcers out there are the ones that are the entertaining announcers. They keep you coming back for more. You don't want to miss what they say. Give me something compelling. Harry Carey was like that. Every game you didn't want to miss. You ran home from school to watch WGN on a Saturday or a Tuesday or a Monday, whatever day it was, and you're watching these games at 1 o'clock because Harry's on there talking baseball, and you maybe took his shirt off that day and sat in the bleachers. You don't know.
That'll be me at the case someday when this kid gets called up. But you talked about character, and this is what I've tried to tell people, how cool, calm, and collected Jack Caglione was. His media showed up to Omaha yesterday. They beat us, but that's okay. This was Caglione talking about his call-up and talking.
It'll happen when it happens. You know, just hoping for good health and everything just kind of keep going the way it is. And whenever that day comes, everything will be good, so not really stressed about it. My thing was going in after spring training, I was like, all right, I'm just hoping to start in Double-A, to be honest with you. I'm not somebody that's going to add pressure to myself and put a timetable on anything. I'm just going to kind of take it day by day and just focus on being present. I think that'll kind of take care of everything else.
I mean, that's there. That's the poise you want to hear. That, or he's a really good listener and he's very well polished with the PR. But either way, that's where his head's going to be at all the time. It's not going to be outside of it. It's not going to be, you know, over charismatic, but there's enough personality there where it's fun, it's entertaining. And like you said, my goal this year was just get to Double-A.
And he did that.
And he destroyed it. Yeah. And then he got to Triple-A. He has one bad game last night. I love you people that come after me that have to bring up the negative. I love you on Twitter.
But does it make them feel better about that? I guess. I don't know.
Because they were right about one game where I was right about,
Aren't we rooting for this guy to do good? Why do you want to take,
it's
like,
insane.
Like that's called Schadenfreude, happiness at the misfortune of others. They feel Dusty's down because he went bad last night. So they took a shot at Dusty feeling that he's upset and they're going to feel better about themselves.
Right. I would take it as a compliment.
And I took it as this.
What are your first impressions of Ashton Jensen?
Oh, he's a beast. He's a beast. He's out there. You know, he's quick. He's fast. He's rocked up. He's thick. So he's pretty good.
Better believe it. And so, to me, I hear what he got asked yesterday and how he responded. He talked about JJ and Cotrero talking to him. We'll talk to Manager Q here in a little bit about this, because that's great. He's checking off every box except getting called up, because Bob even told you, you know, when it's getting close. When Rusty's out there with the fungo.
Yeah, and he was out there yesterday.
With the fungo. Yep. So that's getting polished. His responses to the media are getting polished. JJ's talked to him. Cotrero's talked to him. Somebody asked Lucas Ersig yesterday about it. And it's going to happen. You just got to give it a little bit more time. But mid-June, maybe that's a spark you need, because he's not going to come in here thinking he has to be a savior. He just wants to be an addition, and he's happy to do it, and that will come naturally. And by God, let Max Fried be the first pitcher he sees hits a home run to right field in the fountain. The whole place at Kauffman Stadium goes nuts. Now, that's me wishing in one hand and doing something in the other and seeing which one fills up faster. But by God, wouldn't that be something? If he faced Max Fried in the first at bat, he did hit a home run. But
so
no,
you got him up next week? 2 weeks?
See how this weekend goes.
Okay.
I think if this weekend goes electric, he can't have games like last night.
No. But I think God forbid a baseball player has a bad night.
But also I think it's a good thing. I also think it's a good thing for him in the situation to have that night.
Absolutely.
To see how he comes back tonight.
100%.
Because you know what Jersh is gonna do tonight? He's gonna plug him in at third in the order. He's gonna put him in right, or he's gonna put him at first.
Well, all right,
kid, go get it.
And that's what this is about. And that's what it's always about with Major League Baseball players. It's not how you handle the success and how successful you are. It's how you handle failure. Because most of these guys, the majority of these guys, I would say all of these guys that are at this level now, have never failed in their life at anything. And they don't know what it's like to fail. They don't understand how to pick themselves back up because they've never had to be in these situations before. And that's what the minor leagues and this really AAA is all about. I think probably secretly last night, they're excited that he went 0 for 5 and had some strikeouts because now you get the opportunity to see something that you haven't been able to see with this kid before. And that's battling back from a bad performance, battling back from a little bit of adversity, and we'll see how he handles that going forward. And I think tonight is going to be one of those games that I think a lot of people in the organization are kind of dialed into just to see what he does and how he performs after going 0 for 5 for the first time. For the first time in professional baseball and really in his life, he faced an 0 for 5 type of situation. He's never had to respond from these before. I'm excited to see how he's going to respond. I'm actually glad he had a bad night because we need him to have bad nights because he's going to have bad nights up here. Everybody does. It's how you respond from those bad nights.
And that means he'll be there Friday and Saturday for Gold Night to go see him play in Omaha because I've never been and I want to continue to keep that trend going so it gets to happen on Friday and Saturday.
But I know that I'm hard. I'm loving it. Well, hello, everybody. Happy Wednesday.
That's right. It is a Wednesday. It's what it looks like outside in one word to describe it. It's 100 days until the Chiefs' first game. How many wins this season? 16 to 17, 13 to 15, 10 to 12, or less than 10? Again, real quickly before we go to break, how many wins for the Chiefs this season on the Fesco and Dusty poll on X, formerly known as Twitter? 16 to 17, 13 to 15, 10 to 12, less than 10. Coming up on the other side, we'll ask Jay Binkley that exact same question as he joins us here next on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty.
Hey, what yo up, man?
On your home for Kansas City sports, 96.5 The Fan. It's time for the College Football Report with Jay Binkley.
I'm still not sure I'm not Dusty's dad, but regardless.
On your home for K-State Athletics, 96.5 The Fan.
That's right, it's our guy. Juice is all over the place. Mr. Binkley joining us now. Bink, did you show up to OTAs yesterday, or are you going to wait and hold out?
You know I'm going to hold out, Dust, man. Did not show up yesterday. But by the way, happy Hamburger Day to you fellas, man.
Oh, is today National Hamburger Day? I missed that one. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Describe the perfect hamburger, Jay.
All the places to talk about. Bacon, jalapenos, cheese, onions, for sure.
That's
on a double patty.
Double patty, no, ketchup?
And some ketchup, some of that spicy ketchup from Whataburger.
Yeah, that stuff is fantastic. I keep that in the fridge. I know Danon would get mad because I keep my ketchup in the fridge. But you mentioned Whataburger. That's
I do too, Bob. I go buy it at Hy-Vee. I always have the Whataburger ketchup.
Gotta have it.
Put it in the fridge.
Gotta have it. It is a fantastic staple to have at the house. All right, Whataburger's in the South, Jay. The SEC is talking about seceding. It doesn't go well when the South secedes from the Union. So what is going to happen here in college football?
Man, I don't know. If they split, I could see the Big Ten doing the same thing. I think it's silly, man. You know, I just like the way it was, man. When you have the conferences and everybody's got a shot now with the playoffs to get in. Look at Boise State last year. I don't want to see it split up. I mean, I understand their concerns about the NCAA. No one likes the NCAA, and when they get to the playoffs, they're governed by themselves anyway. They don't even have to worry about the NCAA. It's the College Football Playoff Committee. So it's all about money nowadays, Bob. Now these players are getting all their money. The schools want their money as well.
Binkley, when we talk about the NFL moving forward and you still talk about college basketball or college football, it's not Nudie Magazine Day, but it's College Magazine Day, and you still go collect those things?
Yeah, it's one of the big things, man. I love going out and getting the college football gadgets. I know it's silly. People say, why don't you just look it up online and things like that? And I do, But, man, having that hard copy of college football magazines, it's like the best. I know Drew Nixon goes out and grabs magazines as well for college football. He even puts his own publication out. Drew's got his own college football guide that's pretty good. But, yeah, I love going out and getting the new college football magazines because when I get those, man, you get the excitement. You get the smell of fresh-cut grass. Mm. You get those college football magazines to start the time to think about football.
The best part about those magazines is they're really up to date too. So that's good. They still have Bill Belichick as the coach of North Carolina when you get that thing.
Well, and not only that, but you have to figure out where everybody transferred. That's been the big thing about these magazines. Find out what quarterback, what players ended up at what school, because you got to retrain yourself on who's playing where, because everybody's got somebody different. Look at the Heisman Trophy. All these guys are loaded with transfer portal. Portal guys definitely transfer now. It's not one guy staying at a school for 3 and 4 years. You got to get used to where guys are moving.
All right, Jay, we had OTAs, as Dusty mentioned, start yesterday. Mahomes showed up with his bottle of water and walked in. We got the video of that. Kelsey's there. What are your initial thoughts on phase three of this Del Boca Vista OTA thing going on?
I think it's vengeance time. And, you know, these guys don't have to show up. This is voluntary mini camp. So if people are, you know, wondering where Kelsey's at, it's going to be his last year, where's his mind at? He's showing up to voluntary OTAs. I liked it. I liked when I saw, you know, Travis Kelsey, you know, the video, him walking into the building, because he didn't have to be here. And if you want to know his commitment level, and I know everybody's concerned about it, how committed are you? They're committed, man. This whole team's committed. And the lack of commercials they've been doing in the off season, you really haven't seen them out on the circuit or anything else. They're concentrating on the season. This could be a fun season. I don't know if people are prepared. We've seen the Chiefs, you know, repeat that whole mindset of repeating and the stress and the pressure on that. And then we've got to see the vengeful Chiefs. And I think you're going to see that this year. They've gotten themselves in the public enemy number one. As far as football fans, they want to see the demise of the Chiefs. But as Dusty said earlier, you look at all these teams like the Bengals, they're good, and they fall off. The Buccaneers, when they beat the Super Bowl, anybody hear from them? No, they went on the back of the milk carton. All these teams, they win, and they go down. All these teams push all in. They push all their chips to the middle of the table. But the Chiefs continue to have success year after year. And I think going to 7 straight AFC title games is lost on people. People are waiting for the Chiefs or picking the Chargers, the Broncos. Well, tell me when those teams can win the division. I mean, we're going before COVID, these teams won the division. It's crazy. You're thinking about this team going back to Alex Smith as a quarterback. They've never lost the division. From Alex Smith to Patrick Mahomes, nobody wants to talk about it. They want to pick the Chargers or the Broncos. I don't think people give the Chiefs near enough credit for being good year in and year out and how very difficult it is. Andy Reid never coached the sniff of the year, sniffing coach of the year. Because people don't care about the Chiefs' success. But I love the vengeful Chiefs. I love this mindset and this attitude. Yeah, the Super Bowl sucked. We hated it as Chiefs fans and everything else. But, man, to be able to turn that page and be that team that no one wants to play and how everybody hates and everybody's seeing on primetime games, it's so fun.
Binkley, what do you think about this scenario? The international flag football team against the NFL starters on the 4th of July and the winner goes to the Olympics.
You know what? I wouldn't mind that. I wouldn't mind, as I said, combining these. You know, if a player is good enough, and I know the quarterback who said is upset, the flag football quarterback, it is a different game. You know, you have to be the chemistry and everything involved, but if they're good enough to be on this team, should it be all NFL guys? No, if they're good enough to be on the team, it's the best of the best, man. That's what the Olympics are about, the best of the best that your country has to offer. But if these guys are good enough to make that team, put them on the team. There's no reason why they shouldn't get a shot at playing for this team. It's not just guaranteed that all the NFL players make the team. I'd make them compete for it. This is the best of the best.
No doubt about it. Go get the gold. Binkley, we'll talk to you again next Wednesday and continue to watch the Cags watch in Omaha until he gets to the K, buddy.
I can't wait. Hey, you and Alex need to pick me up on the way up there.
No doubt about it.
Enjoy your magazine trip today, Jay.
Yeah, I'm going to do that and have a nice hamburger on Hamburger Day, Bob.
All right, you go for it, man. Sounds like a great day to be Jay Binkley, college football magazines and hamburgers. I mean, does it get any better than that?
No, it really doesn't.
All right, Big, take care, buddy.
See you guys.
It's Jay Binkley. Burger Day, Magazine Day.
I mean, what, well, juice all over the place. Else does that gentleman need today? college football magazines and hamburgers.
I like that.
I mean, good God. Sometimes it's good to be simple, right?
Absolutely.
What's on the agenda, Jake? Well, I'm going to get a college football magazine and a cheeseburger.
But his burger's kind of complex. Onions, cheese, jalapeno, Whataburger sauce.
And bacon.
And bacon.
Yeah.
That's a elevated burger.
That is.
You know, I'm a simple guy.
Whataburger ketchup. I thought that was a very simple burger.
Bacon and jalapeno kind of made it a little bit different. I don't know.
I don't know. That's kind of
a specific
burger.
Ketchup. Like, I'm just like French's mustard, pickle, and that's it.
Yeah, that's a simple one. Yeah, yeah, that is
me,
simple.
Dude. And smash it. I like that more than the
what's on your burger, Mac, besides mac and cheese, hot dogs, and purple ketchup.
Mayonnaise, ketchup, lettuce, tomatoes, onions. Yeah, cheese.
That's it. That's it. Just no bacon, no avocado, no
cheese. I like all those things, but if we're just talking like ideal, yeah. I like all those. Those things are all great.
Lettuce, tomato, and onion. That's it.
And lettuce, mustard, and ketchup.
Mayo and ketchup. Yeah.
I don't count them as toppings, though. I count the lettuce type stuff. The spreads or whatever, that's always going to be on there. But I always like to hear what people are putting on their burgers, like what kind of bacon or cheese or jalapenos or onions or any of that kind of stuff. I'm always looking for some sort of idea. So that's why I always ask, what do you like on your burger?
Are you adding it all on, or is that?
I'm going with Swiss. I'm going with bacon. I'm going with mushrooms. I'm going with onions. I'm going with avocado. Like, there's a lot that I'm going with on that burger.
That is top tier.
If I'm going to have that burger, I'm going all the way with it, you know?
That's a JoCo burger right there, baby.
Going all the way with it, man.
I just want to win, Jim.
Okay. Coming up on the other side, we'll get back to the poll question. Plus, we'll have Jershley on the show a little bit later on to talk a little kegs. But what's the biggest sports debate in Kansas City sports history? 913-586-7965. What is the biggest sports debate in Kansas City history? We'll give you a few here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.